Inter-party strife, and a player makes his case. The Vanishing Tower returns. Welcome back to The Vanishing Tower. I am Jay Murphy, your host for this unstable platform of RPG blathering. Today I return to more recorded material from the good Dr. Norton as he rants and raves over the latest conundrum descending the party. A role-playing classic, the players find themselves at odds with each other and threatening each other's lives. These next three issues of the Vanishing Tower podcast contain the Doctor's player's argument for this particular version of "My PC wouldn't do that." I have no particular agenda in regards to outcome. I find it an exciting game opportunity as a referee. I know how this scenario would play out when I was a teen, player versus player with the losers rolling new characters. Here was a chance to see how the grown-ups handled things. For full context of events, you can watch our recently recorded live streams of our game session on YouTube. Just search Vanishing Tower Press to find my game channel.
Okay, I'm going to try this one last time, this time on my computer. Hopefully it'll be a bit more clearer and the volume will be better. If you do listen to this, can you post something beneath? Just see if this format works. I'm not 100% sure at the moment. This post is going to be somewhat contentious. And I apologise if I upset anybody. I don't mean to. But it's about the last session we did. It's had that interesting moral dilemma, which I enjoy. I think it gets you thinking, helps you get into character. Because role-playing games offer us that opportunity to be something we're not, to be worse than we are, to be better than we are, and just to experience fantastic things. But I also realise that sometimes you could go too far and they derail games. I've been a member of quite a few groups that have come off the rails somewhat. So I'm always worried when I feel this kind of mood overtaking me. But getting back to our game, that's why I get annoyed at other actual play sites when they put on like warnings about adult content, because most of the time it's not. Even when they're playing like some kind of Mad Max dystopian future where people have to eat other people to survive, very rarely do they eat the wounded child, or you know, you have to the money, the currency is in slaves. You often find them sort of backing away from that and trying to rescue the slaves, which I always feel is a shame. But I understand that because you don't want to jump into a character who's that kind of nasty to our eyes and be labelled as, hang on, Mark, you're enjoying this a bit too much. Are you something you want to confess? Do you have a white pointy hat at home? But whilst I understand it, it still irks me. Because it's a game, we should be adults, we should be understand that we're playing characters. And getting back to our game now, I don't know where the Doctor could have gone. He's a Puritan, which is a sort of extreme religious sect, which had held power briefly before moderates sort of came on and sort of shuffled them aside. and he's far from home. You know, he's seen terrible things. He's living in a world where witches not only exist, but they actually can cast magic. They can affect the world. There's basically evil is real, Satan is real, and it has an effect on the world he lives in. And now he's finding himself far from home on a in the new world, and it literally is a new world. Everything is bizarre to him. You know, the weather, the terrain, the animals, even the people don't look like, for him, people should, you know. And he's hacking his way through this jungle, and he's now in this underground cavern deep beneath a temple in a city of necromancers. He's terrified. He's in the dark. He's having his faith tested. And he sees a colleague touch these statues that they know are magical because they can't be counted and they've accounted before. And he sees his colleague touch it, stagger back or blown back from the owl, have a fit, look a bit confused, a bit dazed, but otherwise is fine. And I think I made it clear that the doctor was a bit wary now, especially after Father Goodchild, the Jesuit priest, told us that the Mayans saw the owls as creatures who relayed messages to the dead, who I'm not sure if they took the souls or guarded the souls, but there's some kind of soul thing going on as well. Maybe like sort of Valkyries. So when later on Wilhelm collapses to the ground, into the sand, onto his knees, starts talking in tongues to something on his shoulder, starts waving his arms as he engages in a conversation with something. And then when we approach, he's still got that kind of confused, dazed look on his face, but tells us he knows a ritual. He knows how to summon the Black Galley. Because an owl told him, an invisible owl told him. And he's just been touched now and been set back and had a fit. I don't know how I would think he's possessed now, to be honest, let alone a 17th century Puritan. I don't know how else I should have responded, to be honest. I think Cuthbert was okay, because Cuthbert's been quite mercenary so far. He's a man being blackmailed into this. But I thought Father Goodchild was very relaxed about it. But again, I understand mechanically. You know, there is problems. We need this incantation to summon the galley, so we have to do it. And obviously, no one likes inter-party combat where one or two people are going to die and then maybe some resentment afterwards. So that's fair enough. No, that's probably the best result was for Dr. Norton to be beaten unconscious. But I missed this during the game, and I missed this watching the video back. I've only just noticed that actually Wilhelm does perform the ceremony. He does profane the crucifix. He performs blood magic. He gets the silver crucifix. He cuts his hand, presumably. I'm not sure where the blood come from, so I'm guessing that from his hand, or, well, must be from him, and splashes it on the crucifix to summon the galley. And this ritual was discussed, I think, in the presence of the doctor. So when that galley turns up, there's going to have to be one hell of an explanation to how this happened. Because it's right back to that point of thinking, if these people ain't demons, they're at least corrupted. And oh, I think we're coming up to 7-8 minutes now. So I'll end this here and I'll continue in part two, if that's okay. Thank you.
The Doctor's Player records two more segments on this topic, and these make up the next couple of episodes of the Vanishing Tower podcast. Feel free to comment. I encourage you, listener, to offer up your suggestions on what the right role-playing move is here for all involved. I'll post them up. For now, here's a message from our sponsor.
Hey, Jay. Jason Hobbs with Random Screen here. Hey, man, I caught up on a couple episodes of The Vanishing Tower. Enjoyed you talking about champions, and you're so right about making characters. But I actually got into a situation where I could run the game and it worked, but 95% of the players at the table know the rules as well or better than I do, and I just source them for those rules. So I created, you know, the scenes, and they helped make the rules work. And it was fun. It was good. I love it. I'm looking for another Supers game. I've been threatening one for quite a while now and haven't really made it happen. Maybe it's the Vigilante City, Eric Bloat. I don't know. Maybe it's Jeff D's new game. Rick Hull seems to like a different one. Either way, The Vanishing Tower rocks.